Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Art Kleiner is our guest. Art is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's been with us three times this year already, and he's back for the fourth. Just can't get enough of us. He just lays awake at night thinking about, you know, imagining what it's going to be, how wonderful it's going to be the next time he's on the Small Business Advocate Show. Art is the editor-in-chief of the quarterly magazine Strategy and Business. He is the author of a book that's been re-released. It's so important, folks. It had to be re-released. The Age of Heretics, A History of the Radical Thinkers Who Reinvented Corporate Management. And he's our good friend. Art, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. It really is a pleasure to be here each time.
It's good to have you back. You do that, don't you? You lay away thinking, when can I be back on Jim's show?
I have no other thoughts, Jim. That's the only one I've got. Top of mind every moment.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Hey, Art, let's talk about heretics. Now, I was telling the audience a minute ago, you wrote a book about the handful, or the couple of handfuls of people who were heretics in the world of big business.
Correct.
But I pointed out a minute ago that if you're an entrepreneur, you're sticking your finger in the eye of conventional wisdom almost every day.
That's true. You are.
And so my audience, maybe we don't think of ourselves as heretics, but I was just saying, you know, if you've ever done, like I have, if you ever created something from nothing, if you've ever done something that everybody else says you weren't supposed to do, that kind of makes you a little bit of a heretic, doesn't it?
I think in many respects it does, or it's regarded as such. One of the interesting things about America is that entrepreneurialism is not such a heretical idea. It goes right to our roots as...
It's in our DNA, isn't it?
Well, a lot of people who came from other countries, you know, basically survived by either starting small farms or starting small businesses, and... So we believe in a way to that's how you get ahead. And in fact, a lot of people start small businesses precisely because they know the alternative is being a heretic in a big business somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if you think about it, when I said it's in our DNA, if you think about it, the people who populated this world from the West, not from the East, the European population of the United States, I should say, those people left 100-year-old conventions and came to a place where the mere getting on the boat to come here was an entrepreneurial thing, was a risk-taking thing, and so we got the entrepreneurial stock of that part of the world. I mean, that's what made us who we are. But I think
you could say the same for Asia.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But let's talk about the people that you profile in your book. Who are some of these folks?
Well, and just as an aside, a lot of the ideas that people use to start businesses have their roots in some of the things I talk about in the book. So, for instance, in World War II, there was a great number of there were cells of resistance to the Nazis, particularly in Norway, and those connected with some of the practices in coal mines, where people couldn't be controlled by, you know, sort of levels and levels of hierarchy of overseers. Created an idea that, you know, self-managing teams of people who solve a project on their own and work together and have a fair amount of autonomy are a much more efficient way of getting things done. And people in small to medium-sized
businesses... Giving people the authority, the responsibility and the authority.
Yeah, putting the authority at the level where the work is actually being done.
Mm-hmm.
And giving people, you know, enough control over their work so that they don't have to continually run to be second-guessed, and enough understanding of the business so that they're not working at odds with your own purpose.
And as Deming developed in his quality processes, mm-hmm. stop if there's a mistake or a fault or some defect, stop the work at that moment and fix it then rather than wait till later.
Very much so, and bring in whoever's got the expertise that you can draw on right at the moment, rather than waiting for a hierarchical level of bosses to come
right.
down and impose.
Yeah. So,
yeah, no,
go ahead.
Well, all of those have roots. All of those ideas, they didn't just emerge from common sense, although you might think they did. But there were groups of people, often very flamboyant and colorful people, who experimented and codified and made the case. And, you know, right now in small and large businesses, it's pretty much conventional wisdom that you don't need six or seven layers of authority over somebody to get them to do the work right. But that took a long time to put into
right.
place as conventional wisdom.
Well, if you think about it, even though a lot of there were an awful lot of small businesses created in the 20th century, there was a lot of conventional wisdom, even among those people who were in small business. There was a lot of conventional wisdom that really has changed quite a bit in the last 20 years in small business. I mean, the small business profile, the small business landscape doesn't look anything like it looked 25 years ago.
No, it's true. I told the story of Paul Hawken, who now is known as a writer on both small business and environment and social entrepreneurship. But when he got his start, he was a student working in a macrobiotic foods company in Boston, and he started going around to all of the various food suppliers to find out how much he could reliably tell about how they grew their crops and whether they were truly organic, etc. And he started going to the Wall Street Journal and to conventional management magazines for help. And he discovered that what they had to say was almost completely irrelevant to his scale of business.
Mm-hmm.
He had to kind of invent from the bottom up the practices that now we see in the whole, well, not just him, but people at that level, experimenters around the country, invented what we now think of as, a fairly huge natural foods and organic foods
right.
set of businesses and supply chain.
Right. So, why is it important for small business owners to think about being heretical?
Well, one thing is, are you going to be small until you get big? In other words, are you the kind of small business that imagines sooner or later, as in many high-tech industries, you're going to someday be a big business? Well, one of the heretical ideas is, have you thought about who's going to replace you?
Mm-hmm. You personally, in your assignment.
As chief executive and
founder. As you scale the business. Stand by. Art Kleiner is our guest, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk some more about this. I'm going to talk about how you can be a heretic. I'm going to ask Art if you can be a heretic in your own little community, your own marketplace. 19 after. Stay with us. Searching for something to... We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the things that we do, and the second one is our knowledge base, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and then askjim.biz, our knowledge base, where you get small business answers now. Art Kleiner is our guest. He's our good friend and editor-in-chief of Strategy Plus Business. He is with the Booze... it's a new. You got a new group now, right? Right.
Yeah.
Art, Booz Allen Hamilton became Booz and Hamilton, right?
Well, what happened? Booz Allen Hamilton still exists and still works with the U.S. government primarily, and they also spun off their global and commercial side, Booz and Company, and that works on the and with commercial clients, business clients here in the U.S. and North America, and then with other types of clients all over the world.
Right.
And Booz
and Company is the new group, so to speak.
That's correct.
And that's the group that you're with. And also, he's the author of The Age of Heretics. And this book was first released in 91, wasn't it?
Actually, 96. So it's
96?
About 12 years
okay.
old.
All right. So if I already have the first book, do I need the second one?
Well, when I wrote the first book, it wasn't clear that these ideas were going to be influential. And I kind of wrote it thinking I would have to make a case for how important they were. Now,
mm-hmm.
since then, we've seen the impact of things like GE Workout. We've seen, the rise and fall of the dot-com era and the aftermath. We've seen that good management makes a difference in the world at large,
mm-hmm.
both in small and in large businesses. And, you know, a lot of small businesses are suppliers to large businesses, so you know very well how important good management is. And as a result of all that, there's a real value in knowing where good management came from. And what we call good management today started as very much on the extreme and on the edge.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, though, I'm a fairly active observer of major corporations,
mm-hmm.
and I'm concerned about the devotion to the quarterly conference call,
mm-hmm.
the quarterly guidance.
Yep.
I believe that quarterly guidance is the enemy of customer service. I believe it's the enemy of good employee relations. I believe it's the enemy of the company being as good a corporate citizen as it can be locally. The quarterly guidance, to the devotion to the analysts, I believe, is the biggest enemy of major corporations. What do you think?
Well, I think all of that, and it also doesn't necessarily make a company profitable. How many unprofitable huge companies, as Deming said, are going down the tubes?
Because they're eating their own babies. They're not producing excellence. They're focusing on the quarterly results instead of making a commitment to the future.
Well, it's worse than that even.
They're allowing the
aggregate judgment of analysts, who are dedicated, hardworking people, et cetera, but they're allowing that judgment to override their own. And more
right.
to the point, their boards are as well.
Right. So where are the heretics for that issue, Art? Because I'm looking for the few people who, and there are a few out there now who are doing this, but I'm asking every CEO I talk to, I'm asking them, stop giving quarterly guidance and start becoming devoted to your customers, not to your analysts.
Well, the original heretic on this was Henry Ford back in 1913, who got in a big lawsuit with the Dodge brothers, his big investors, because he lowered the price of the car, raised his employees' wages to $5 an hour, and publicized that he was doing it because he wanted to create mm-hmm. a big middle-class market for the automobile.
Right.
And the Dodge brothers took him to court, and the lawyer said to him, "You mean you're raising your wages, lowering your prices, and you are and you're doing all this against your shareholders' advice?" And Ford said, "Yeah, because we make money. We make money this way."
Mm-hmm.
And he lost the case, but I think he won the argument, and it's been continuing ever since.
So see, this is the now I will tell you that this kind of a scenario that we just painted is the way that small business owners who compete with big companies can do that effectively, because small business owners don't have quarterly conference calls with analysts.
That's true.
They have daily conference calls with their customers.
You know, Jim, you raise a really important point, though, which is that small business owners sooner or later have to look at the moment when they're going to retire and take cash out of the company, and how are they going to survive at that point?
Mm-hmm.
And there's traditionally two ways of surviving. There's sort of letting some other private owner take over, you know, letting your family inherit it if you can, or doing an IPO and selling the stock, in which case your successors are going to be compromised in the same way. Unless you establish the discipline of resisting and moving towards a corporate goal, and the companies like Procter & Gamble, Apple, IBM to an extent, which have managed to succeed, are those which have an alternative to shareholder guidance, which have their own idea of what's important to them. You can't do it in a vacuum. Even when you're small,
mm-hmm.
you need to know what your company stands for, so that if you do become big, you can withstand the pressure.
Could you stay an extra segment?
Certainly.
I want to continue this because I think we got a little more to talk about. Art's going to stay with us, folks, one more segment, and after that, we've got Josh Costell coming up with us. We're going to take a quick break. It's almost 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want Art to wrap these two things together, the desire to serve your customers, small business owners, but also the requirement for you to have an exit strategy. How does that work? What can we learn from the big companies? 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
A time to be born, a time to die.
Jim Blasingame. He's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Art Kleiner is our guest. He's the author of The Age of Heretics. He's with Booz & Company, editor-in-chief of Strategy and Business, Strategy Plus Business, which is their quarterly magazine. Art, give us the website and tell us where the book's available, please.
Certainly. The book is available in all bookstores. It's published by Wiley, Josie Bass, and, you know, any place you buy books should have it. The website is www.strategy-business.com. They won't let pluses on the internet in the URL, so it's strategy-business.
What's up with that, huh?
I know. Well, you know, we tried to change it, but, you know, the whole body of the world's internet governance authorities just.
So you tried to be a heretic in the face of in the face of internet convention? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we just couldn't come up with a universal rationale for it, though, and that's what heretics need. They need to show they're not just looking out for themselves, but for the good of the world as a whole.
The Age of Heretics is Art's book. It's the re-release of that book with an updated perspective. Art, we were talking about the major corporate devotion to the quarterly analyst report, and the fact that small business owners can compete against those guys because we don't have to deal with that. We can make sure that customers. Well, let me put it this way: if for small business owners, typically, Art, and maybe this might be ill-advised, but typically, small business owners, when it comes to taking care of customers. Are being devoted to profit will default to customers almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
And see that builds a brand, and that's you've got to have long term thinking to be able to do that. But your point just before we went to the break was, at some point in time though, the small business owner has to have an exit strategy.
Yeah, and
before they have the ultimate exit strategy.
And I think even before the exit strategy, there's also a kind of a judgment strategy. In other words, are you prepared to learn how to keep serving your customers, paying attention to your customers, drawing conclusions from what you know about your customers day after day and letting that drive decisions? Or are you going to drive your decisions, you know, based on expediency? Paying attention to analysts is a strategy of expediency, and it just doesn't pay off. However... there will come a time when your company goes through a transition and needs a different kind of management than it has had in the past, or when, you know, you and your co-founders are in fact going to be thinking about retirement. Mm-hmm. And as I was once talking to the CEO of a company that re-engineered camshafts and crankshafts, and he said, you know, basically we're not going to be able to live off old auto parts when we retire.
Right.
We have to take some cash out.
Right.
So what then do you do? One thing to think about is how you start grooming and developing the people inside the business who are going to be moving on into your slot, because it's much more difficult to bring somebody in from the outside.
Right.
It's possible, it's feasible, but it takes a real discipline. It takes almost as much discipline, probably more, to get somebody in from the outside and have them succeed as it does to have somebody come in who really knows the business and who you've worked with.
And they have to be able to run the business profitably enough to be able to buy you out.
Well,
they can't just be caretakers like they are when you go on vacation. They've got to be able to take the business and run with it after that, so they can actually profitably buy you out.
They collectively, sure,
and keep making those payments.
You may, in fact, want to have separate startup entities that you've developed and have a minority stake in, that you can then use that cash as part of the buyout windfall or what have you. And there are companies that have deliberately tried to do that.
Right.
Thinking of Jack Stack and his book, A Stake in the Outcome, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think in general, the real question is do they have the clarity of insight to know where the business is going and to help it get there? You know, that's probably the hardest single thing. If you've gotten to this point as the head of a small business, you've had that all along. can you recognize and cultivate it in others, mm-hmm. then that in itself is
And are you willing to release it to someone else, to delegate that?
Right.
That's the big problem small business owners have, is they don't have a problem serving their customers. They have a problem with turning over control to other people. That's a real problem for small business owners, which we'll have to tackle another day because we've got to wrap it up for this visit, Art. As much as I know you love being here on the show.
And, I could go hours more.
Hours, yeah. And we'll have to do this again, which we will. The book is called The Age of Heretics, available now wherever books are sold. Art Kleiner is the author and our good friend. Art, thanks for being here. Good job, dude.
Nice. So much appreciated. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with Josh Castell right after these messages. Here's Shocking Blue to take us out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.